Come on. Hey there. Welcome in. It's the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. For Wednesday, the 22nd day of July, 2020. We have hit the hump. And if you stand on your tiptoes, yes, you can smell the weekend from here. Oh, man. I hope you're doing well. Hope you and yours are good. And that life is good for you. I mentioned yesterday that my wife Jane was going to have a COVID-19 test. She did that yesterday. Backstory, just to give you a little bit of a update in case you missed that part of yesterday's podcast. My wife has a coworker who's out. She's not feeling well. It turns out this coworker's family all around her has been testing positive for COVID-19. And out of an abundance of caution, Jane and other folks she works with have been going to get tested to make sure they're all okay. And Jane's test came back negative. She's just fine. So I appreciate your attention, your concern, your prayers. I thank you for that. Jane's doing well. And hopefully the same kind of report comes back for others that she works with. Now, let's put things in perspective for just a moment. Now, I'm going to get back to coronavirus here in a few minutes, but just this first thing, because this is a personal item and I wanted to update you on that. And that is, my wife has been working alongside this person for the entire time this person has been suffering, been getting progressively sicker. This person comes in and relieves my wife at her lunch break and at the end of her shift each day. This person is someone she sees daily, and she works in the same space. This person, when my wife comes back after her breaks, has been touching what my wife uses in the course of her work on a daily basis. The telephone, the computer, things like that, credit card processing, and the like. And Jane came back clean yesterday. Now, the process, well, first off, that alone, the fact that she's been in close contact with this person, she told me this morning that she told me that at one point this girl was feeling not well and said, "Do you think I have a fever?" And my wife had actually laid her hand on this girl's forehead to see if she felt like she had a fever. She has physically touched this person's face, and she came back negative. And that should tell us a pretty good deal about all of the panic we're being fed about COVID or the coronavirus living on objects that you touch, living on, being on people's faces and the like. We're being told some things that just don't add up in the real world. And all of this panic, as I've said before, I think is intentional. It's an election year. In Europe, people aren't wearing masks. People aren't shutting down businesses. But here in America, where there's a presidential election going on, there is panic. You don't have to be a mathematician to make that 2 plus 2 add up correctly. Okay, moving forward. What else? The Miata project is still kind of sitting and percolating. There's nothing major happening. I have parts coming in today. Lower ball joints are coming in via UPS sometime either late this morning or late this afternoon. I cannot predict when UPS hits my neighborhood. At any rate, those will be in today. That means I can button that up. The front end will be done, and I'll have that finished. There is one more part. There is a belt there, the serpentine belt, which runs the air conditioning and the power steering pump. That comes in today or tomorrow. I'm not sure which. The tracking is sort of nebulous. I'm not really sure. It was in Nashville, Tennessee at about 1 o'clock this morning, and I don't know what that means as far as, because Nashville's just 3 hours or so from here, and it could have been on a UPS truck all night long on a semi last night and in the hands of UPS this morning and on the way to my house today, but I haven't seen tracking to support that. If that happens, then that belt gets put on. I'm replacing the belt, one, because you should, and two, because at one point I took the air conditioning out of the loop and put a shorter belt on. And the old belt was squealing. It was nasty. It was in bad shape. I threw it out. So I'm putting the air conditioning back in the loop again, and I'm going to have somebody look at it to tell me what's wrong with it. And if it's affordable, I'll get it fixed. It just hasn't worked since it barely blew cold air at all when I bought the car. And the longer I own the car, the less cold air it blew. And I finally just gave up on it and said, you know what? I'm just going to bypass it and save that horsepower and use it for fun. But black interior, hot summer, high humidity, I want my air conditioning back. So that's happening. And that's really all that's left. I'm re-engineering the cold air intake a little bit, and I'm at the point really where I can put spark plugs in it, put the fluids, the oil, and the coolant in it, and hook the battery back up and turn the key. I'm that close. So my hope is that this Saturday morning when I get up to go have breakfast with my buddy Mike, I'll be driving the Miata. That is the update on the Miata project, and that's as far as that goes. I can't go any further without the right parts in hand, but when that final part gets here, I just take off the gloves and start swinging, because here we go. We're going to have fun. All right. I don't know if you noticed this over the weekend. I haven't been talking about Bubba Watson, the NASCAR driver, since his whole noose thing, and it's because, frankly, he's just playing a desperate game for attention, and that's my assessment. He's just trying to cash in on the Black Lives Matter movement. He's trying to get some attention, and of course, NASCAR is just bending over backwards like idiots in order to get this to happen because they want to be socially acceptable. What gets me is that they're being socially acceptable to a tiny number of Americans, and how do I know that? Well, the last couple of appearances by Bubba Watson have not been really great. He's finishing well back in the pack. I think he was number 14 in his last race. When they call his name, when they announce the drivers, the cars and the drivers at the beginnings of races, he gets booed now. The crowd boos Bubba Watson now when his name is mentioned. And he recently crashed, and when he crashed, the crowd cheered. So Bubba Watson tried to get some attention, and he's getting attention. It's not the one he wanted, not the kind of attention he wanted, but Bubba Watson's getting some attention. And as we say in the South, bless his heart. And you know what that means. And as long as we're talking about the absurd, and that is, by the way, part of the absurd category, as long as we're talking about the absurd, I can't ignore this any longer. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, bless his heart, has claimed that people are moving into New York to escape surging coronavirus cases in other states. And because they're moving in, they're bringing the corona. The Rona's coming with them, and it's threatening to cause another spike for New York. He said that his state is now seen as a safe state. He said this while speaking at a Monday press conference. He declared a major victory in the ongoing fight against the virus after New York reported zero deaths from coronavirus on July 12th, the first time hitting that benchmark since March. Can I just step aside from this story? Coming from the Daily Wire, by the way, written by Tim Pierce. I just want to make a side note. Your Honor, sidebar, can we step to the side? He claims that New York reported zero deaths from the coronavirus on July 12th. Well, China's been reporting zero deaths for a while. Do we believe them? Those Marxists over there, they keep saying, nothing to see here. Move along. No, I wanted to do that in the Chinese accent, but I just can't make myself do it because I just don't want to have to deal with the hate. But then this idiot, this Cuomo says his state is now, it's a safe space. People are coming here now. They're coming here to escape the corona, and they're bringing it with them. Well, no. Do we believe you? The Democrat governor now says New York's progress in fighting the virus has outpaced other states. The people are moving to New York looking for a safe haven from the pandemic. The people moving into the state may cause the virus to increase again, he said. Quote, the problem is you have it now increasing in 40 states across the nation. How do you keep the virus in 40 states from coming into New York? We now have people coming into New York fleeing from the other states because it's the safe state. We have people coming here just for the purpose of fleeing the virus in their state. Really, the only answer is those other states have to get the virus under control. Oh, my gosh. In May, a team of geneticists traced the origins of strains of the coronavirus from all over the country, and they sourced almost every one of them. Back to China? No. Back to New York. A team of geneticists traced almost every strain they checked back into New York. New York is the super spreader. It isn't the safe state. Cuomo is lying. How do I know that? His lips are moving. He's a leftist, Democrat, progressive politician. Of course he's lying. Holy cow. Yale School of Public Health epidemiologist Nathan Grubaugh said at the time of this tracing, we now have enough data to feel pretty confident that New York was the primary gateway for the rest of the country. Oh, but it's safe now. Right. When you look at the information that's available that the mainstream press, the progressives in the mainstream press are ignoring, you realize that we're being fed a lot of disinformation intended to create and maintain a certain level of fear. Because people in fear willfully, willingly, eagerly give up their liberty in order to gain security. And as Benjamin Franklin once said, people who do that deserve neither. They're not going to have either one. Don't surrender your liberty to the state. Don't do it. Because when you give up your liberty to the state and allow them control of any aspect of your life, you will never get that control back. Never. Never. Look how hard President Trump is having to fight to eliminate things which have been burdening us for decades upon decades. The people entrenched in government are fighting him at every turn. Do you want those people to determine the outcome of your family's health? These people who care about maintaining the status quo rather than allowing you to make adult decisions about your life and the life of your family? Is that what you really want? I don't think so. Do you want those people, the people who say we should trust the U.S. Postal Service, which loses billions of dollars a year and can't be really trusted to get a package to you when you think it should be in your hands? Do you want the people who trust the U.S. Postal Service to handle your vote? Do you want those same people making decisions about your family's health care? Of course you don't. We have Obamacare, the laughably called Affordable Health Care Act. We have that as a prime example. They insisted, they lied to us, knowingly lied to us, and told us that we were going to be saving about $2,500 a year on our health care costs if we agreed to allow them to pass Obamacare. What happened? The vast majority of Americans saw their insurance premiums double, triple, sometimes quadruple, and quintuple. The cost of your healthcare insurance skyrocketed because the insurance industry got in bed with the government and said, yeah, this is a good way to go, because they could make more money, because the government's incompetent and doesn't know what it's doing and loves to apply a one-size-fits-all Band-Aid to everything they touch in order to fix it. And one size never fits all. Never. You know that to be true when you go buy shoes. Even your size doesn't fit sometimes. And the government can't even get that close. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for Wednesday, the 22nd day of July, 2020. Wait a minute, I got to check something just out of curiosity here. Do you mind? Can you hang on for just a second here? Let's see here. This would make this podcast number 260. The 260th edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Yep. Yes, indeed, you do. And during that last break, if you're a podcast listener, you don't get the breaks. But during that last break, there was a PSA about diets and being careful and consulting a physician and weight loss and all that stuff. And it reminded me, there's this YouTuber that I watch who's a guy who calls himself Adam the Woo. Yeah, I know it's weird. He was a bass player in a band at one time, and you know how bands introduce themselves? And on the bass, Adam the Woo! And that's, you know, that was how he hung on to that name when he started doing YouTube. And he started out as an urban explorer, you know, one of these guys who goes into closed buildings and looks around into closed theme parks. He got in trouble with Universal Studios because he wandered backstage. He also got in trouble with Disney for doing the same thing, but he got forgiven by Disney. He still can't go into Universal in Florida because he's on the list. So anyway, he's on a diet. He did this thing for several weeks where he was under the lockdown in California. There wasn't a heck of a lot he could do. He couldn't really go places to see things and talk about the stuff he loves to talk about. So he decided to go to local eateries that were open for walk-up business, for carry-out business. And so he went to all of these locally legendary places. And some of them, like the very first Taco Bell and the other things like that, the places, the very first that started there in California and then spread, and then some local spots that have become legend. And as a result, he put the pounds on and he went, he got up to, I think he said he got up to around 290. Or so, and he's a tall guy. He's about 6'4", 6'5", something like that. But still, that's a lot of weight to carry around. I know, I've done it. And so he's gone on a diet. And he said recently, he talked about what his diet is, and he said, everybody couldn't do this, probably couldn't do this, but I get up, I have a cup of coffee in the morning to get me started. He's cut out soft drinks. He just drinks a lot of water now. And he eats one meal a day. He has a salad late in the evening. And I'm thinking, holy crap. Adam the Woo's going to die because you just can't do that. You just can't do that. I mean, if he had consulted a doctor, if he ends up in the emergency room because he's, you know, he's lightheaded, he can't function or whatever, they're going to ask him and they're going to put him in a rubber room. I mean, that's just crazy. That's just absolutely nuts. But so if you're going to lose weight, I mean, do what the doctor tells you to do. My doctor at one point hands me this, here, this is a diet, get on it. Am I to take this to mean I'm fat? Am I dangerously overweight? Yes. Okay. All righty. And you might want to move a little bit, too, instead of sitting in a chair all the time. Yes, sir. will do. Mm. Speaking of medicine, the Trump administration has secured about 600 million coronavirus vaccine doses for you and for me, the American public. Of course, they're spending our tax million, our tax dollars, $1.95 billion to order. That's 1.95 billion per million doses. You do the math. I'm not going to. They've secured a deal with Pfizer, and they can get an additional 500 million doses. So they have 100 million already ordered. They have another 500 million doses potential in the wings. There are 330 million people in the United States of America. They're going to get us covered with our tax money, of course, paying Pfizer. Now, Pfizer and BioNTech announced a joint statement. In a joint statement, they've secured an agreement with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Defense to meet the U.S. government's Operation Warp Speed program goal to begin delivering 300 million doses of a vaccine for COVID-19 in 2021. The BNT162 program is based on BioNTech's proprietary mRNA technology and supported by Pfizer's global vaccine development and manufacturing capabilities. The BNT162 vaccine candidates are undergoing clinical studies and aren't currently approved for distribution anywhere in the world. The statement from, the statement says, under the agreement, the U.S. government will receive 100 million doses of BNT162, the COVID-19 vaccine candidate jointly developed by Pfizer and BioNTech, after Pfizer successfully manufactures and obtains approval for emergency use authorization from U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Americans will receive the vaccine for free, consistent with U.S. government's commitment for free access for COVID-19 vaccines. And so this is good news for Americans. We already have things, and we've got a half a dozen different things in development right now. And this particular one is they've already put together an agreement. They've already committed to the payment. They've already committed to the first 100 million. And they, under the agreement, can also come back and get 500 million more doses should they need them. And considering there are just under 330 million people in America, that should do the job. And they're talking about early next year. Now, that sounds like, why next year? Really, that's really not that far away. All things are all things considered, it's not that far away. We're in July now. It'll be August before you know it. Literally, we're about a week away from August right now. And we have, you've got August, September, October, November. That's 5 months to the end of December. And I know, it's almost half a year. Trust me, it'll go by quickly. We've got a presidential election coming up. The dog and pony show being put on by the Democrats trying to undermine everything and to secure a win by hook or by crook. Literally, by hook or by crook. Literally. They're trying to steal an election away from the sitting president. They're trying to get back what they lost in 2016. There will be plenty to keep us occupied until the COVID-19 vaccine under development is available. Also, something to keep in mind is that we're being fed an awful lot of information which may not necessarily be so. Almost daily now, coming from Issues and Insights, almost daily now we've been reading about how daily deaths from COVID-19 have reached record highs. Scary prospect. But the truth is the mainstream press is grossly misleading the public by misreporting death counts. Here's a typical report from USA Today a few days ago. Quote, as the outbreak continues to surge across the southern states, Florida, Texas, and South Carolina set records for new daily deaths, reporting 156, 129, and 69, respectively. ABC News reported that 19 states set single-day records for the most cases this week. Three states set a record today. According to PBS in Arizona, the state on Saturday, July 18th, set a record for coronavirus-related deaths reported in one day with 147. That's according to the Arizona Department of Health Services. That last story is particularly illuminating because the website the PBS article links to includes a chart of daily deaths in the state. it lists only 3 deaths on July 19th. What's more, the chart shows there hasn't been a single day in the state where deaths exceeded 65. So where'd that scary 147 number come from? The same place all the other surging numbers come from. Each day, Arizona and other states file reports on how many people died from COVID-19. It's not a measure of how many died that day. In most cases, the people died days or even weeks earlier. In fact, in Arizona's case, 106 of the reported deaths on Saturday resulted from a periodic review of death certificates. None of those caveats made it into the PBS story. The same thing happened in Florida when a wave of news reports screamed about how the state had recorded 156 deaths in one day last week. CNN reported, "The grim milestones come quickly in the Sunshine State. The Florida Department of Health reported 156 new coronavirus-related deaths on Thursday, the most yet in a 24-hour period." Yet, Florida's health department reports only 59 deaths that day. The most deaths occurring in a single day in the state is 99. In fact, of the 743 deaths reported in the state of Florida over the past week, only 348 of them actually occurred during that week. The rest happened sometime earlier. Nowhere in the CNN story is the difference explained to the readers. In Texas, a Dallas Morning News headline shouted that as Texas sees a record 174 coronavirus deaths in a day, Governor Greg Abbott pleads for use of masks. But the CDC's data shows none of the recorded deaths in Texas occurred last week. None of them. Here we go. Diving in to the second half of today's edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Let's jump back in where we left off. The CDC's data shows that none of the recorded deaths in Texas actually occurred last week. As far as it knows, only 64 died the week before that. In California, meanwhile, the LA Times told its readers Tuesday that for the week-long period that ended on Monday, 674 deaths were reported in California, the highest weekly total to date. In the previous 7-day period, 640 people died, which had also been a weekly record. The week that before that, 474 died. However, the CDC reports that it knows of only 48 people who died from COVID-19 in California last week. That's a pretty big difference. 48? 674? And the week before that, 276. The week before that, 476. Nationwide, it's the same story. For the week ending in July 18th, the CDC says that only 190 COVID-related deaths are known to have occurred, but the trackers all show more than 5,000 deaths that week. The week before that, the CDC says it knows of 1,623 deaths. The trackers report more than 4,600. The CDC notes that its more recent daily death counts are certainly too low because it takes time to record the deaths as being due to COVID-19. Quote, "It's important to note that it can take several weeks for death records to be submitted to National Center for Health Statistics, processed, coded, and tabulated," so says the CDC. In other words, we have no idea how many people are actually dying from COVID-19 right now and won't have that information for weeks. You may be thinking, well, doesn't that mean the data will eventually show that a significant surge in deaths is happening now? Not necessarily. The number of daily new cases in states like Florida, Texas, California, and Arizona appear to have peaked already. Plus, the age of those testing positive is lower. Hospitals are better equipped. Treatment regimens have improved since the first surge in April. And unlike in New York, New Jersey, and other northeastern states that panicked, these states aren't sending COVID-19 patients into nursing homes, where some 40% of deaths nationwide occurred. Also, if states track new cases the same way they do deaths, when the test results are logged into the system rather than when the infection occurred, then the peak from the recent increase in infections likely happened earlier than reported. That's the case in Florida, according to a report from Just the News. It found that the state's database includes both the case date and when the that's when the test results are logged in the state system, and the event date, when the symptoms first appeared. However, the state uses the case date to create its daily chart of new infections. Daniel Payne's reporting, data show that the state was apparently undercounting thousands of cases between early and mid-June, after which, through the end of June and into early July, it began posting what were presumably the backlogged cases it had missed in the prior weeks. Assuming other states are taking the same approach, this means that the worst of the coronavirus surge may have already happened, and the current panic is being stoked by a negligent mainstream media that are unwilling or unable to understand the data they're reporting. I tell you this every day. Don't trust the mainstream press. They're in it for the numbers, not for the truth. It sounds odd to say something like that, to hear something like that, I know. But the mainstream press is driven by the bottom line. If they're not making money, they're not in business. It's that simple. If they don't have money coming through, they don't employ people, they're out of business. And in order to generate as much interest in what they publish every day as possible, they have to keep raising the sensationalism bar, the panic bar, the fear bar. They keep having to up the ante in order to keep the money coming in, to keep the eyes on them, to keep people watching their news channels, reading their publications. The headlines have to draw attention. And can I say this to my friends in conservative media? Some of you are guilty of the same thing. Rather than telling us the truth, you cherry-pick portions of articles in order to get attention. And I can't tell you, during a day of prep, when I'm constantly looking at things on the news sites, I can't tell you the number of times I've clicked on an article headline and a link in order to find out what this is about and find out the story really has very little to do with what the tease was. And it's beginning to tick me off. And there are some who put their probably most consequential information behind a paywall. If you really, really want the public to know what's really going on, why are you insisting they pay you for the truth? This rubs me the wrong way. I understand the need to make money. Without the bottom line, there is no business. Without that bottom line, there are no paychecks. It's necessary. I get that. There are other ways to generate the income. And if you're a web publisher, you may be thinking, yeah, but people hate pop-up ads. They hate those ads in the sidebar. They hate all. Guess what? We're used to them. You get paid for click-throughs. You get paid for exposures. Do what you have to do. But don't hide things behind a paywall, especially if it's vital information for the American public. Don't do it. If you think we need to know it, why are you teasing it to us and then making us pay to see it when there are other ways to raise that same income? I'll get off my soapbox now. But please, somebody tell Ben Shapiro to stop doing that. He has some interesting insights that I think people need to know. And there are others as well. They do the same thing. It really rubs me the wrong way. The people need to know the truth. The people need to know what's going on. The people need to see the real meat of the stories. The people need to be able to make up their own minds instead of having their minds made up for them. We live in a society which has educated its children into stupidity. They can no longer do their own critical reasoning. They can't question their way through things. They just quote what people tell them. And if you don't believe that's true, you've never spent any time on social media and you've never read the comments below articles online. Because people are angry, they're vile, they're just gross. That's the only way I can put it. They're just nasty when they disagree. And they have no substance. They can't tell you a fact. All they can do is quote, is send you links to progressive news articles because they can't think for themselves. All they can do, they can't put two and two together. They can't see a string of logic. They can't come up with answers on their own depending on what they've seen because they've been trained just to let other people think for them. We need people to be able to see all of the information. It's extremely important, especially now, when it's very, very hard, very, very hard to get truthful information. And here's an example. Google. We already don't trust Google. Here's another reason. Yesterday, what Google calls a technical error exposed a blacklist of multiple conservative sites, including the American Thinker, where this particular article comes from. After the blacklisting became obvious and generated commentary among conservative publications and the sound of crickets emanating from the dominant mainstream media propaganda organs, it appears to have been reversed. The blacklist became blatantly obvious when a Google search for American Thinker revealed no items from their site, but rather articles elsewhere that mentioned American Thinker. This morning, the ban on material beginning with the American Thinker web address was no longer visible. A tweet by Chuck Ross over at the Daily Caller, also blacklisted, shows how searches for news events or public figures exclude material from blacklisted sites. He did an experiment. He says an experiment on whether Google is blocking search results for conservative sites randomly picked Stephen Halper as a search term. New York Times and WAPO, Washington Post, have 96 returns combined. No results on Daily Caller, though we've probably published his name 100 times. Google's employing BaffleGab to explain away the blacklist. Over at Mediaite, Rudy DeCala reports, in a jargon-filled statement, Google said it was looking into the issue but failed to offer any explanation. Quote, we're aware of an issue with the site, command that may fail to show some or any indexed pages from a website. We're investigating this and any potentially related issues. That's what they said in a post published on Twitter yesterday afternoon. The issue affected a number of sites representing a range of different content and viewpoints. Really? The issue was the technical error unrelated to the content or ideology of the sites affected. That's interesting. When it seems like the only sites affected were conservative sites. So somebody at Google pushed the limits a little too far. And things got covered up. And now it's incredibly obvious to us that Google is shaping the narrative by shaping the information it reveals when you search for things, which is why so many conservative people have stopped using Google and they use alternative sites. And I recommend to you that you never, ever use Google for your searches. DuckDuckGo. Yeah, two ducks and a go. DuckDuckGo.com. Use them. They don't filter things like Google does. They don't hide things. You get information, information necessary for you to be able to make educated, informed decisions instead of spoon-feeding you the progressive lines, the progressive sources, the progressive news stories. DuckDuckGo.com, not Google. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Let's jump into this final segment here. The last one for this July 22nd, Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. Let's see here. Where was I? Oh, that's where I was. This is what I get for getting back on social media during the breaks. I lose contact with the current timeline. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I was talking about Google and getting information before this break, this most recent break, and it's extremely important for you to find different sources to get your news, because we've determined that long ago, the mainstream press became unreliable. The progressive press presents everything to you from a single viewpoint, and the progressive press has a vested interest in accomplishing a goal, and that goal is, well, I can't put it any other way than
fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
They agree with the Democrat politicians. They want a transformation in America, not a restoration of what made this nation great. So it's important for you to find other outlets, places to find information, so you can make decisions about what's going on in America today instead of just ingesting the pre-chewed definitions of the progressive mainstream press. Well, there's a far-left website that's called the Courier Newsroom, and they've been managing to drive liberal messaging in key states online and on social media with piles of cash and no financial disclosure. But former Nevada Attorney General Adam Paul Laxalt thinks it's going to erode the public's trust in the media if they're allowed to continue. I have news for Mr. Laxalt. The public's trust in the media was eroded a while back. Wise people stopped trusting the mainstream press decades ago. It's just becoming more and more and more obvious now. And the reason it's becoming more and more obvious is because the mainstream press, a lot of the mainstream press, was educated by the progressive educational system. And they believe in the progressive cause, and they believe everyone else does. Courier Newsroom, tied to a multi-billion dollar left-wing dark money operation, has strategically placed websites in key battleground states running news stories, in quotes, that often appear to be little more than Democratic Party talking points. The same operation also promotes its content on social media platforms and places expensive ads on Facebook, where it's categorized as a media/news organization. The undertaking is a creation of Acronym, a nonprofit organization that has picked up funding from at least one dark money group, Arabella Advisors. The multi-billion dollar private company has funneled millions of dollars over recent years to dozens of left-wing groups and initiatives. While the Courier Newsroom appears overtly political, its newsroom status allows it to avoid financial reporting and disclosure requirements, meaning the amount of cash that can be used to publish and promote its content is essentially limitless and has no oversight. Former Nevada Attorney General Laxalt is now the outside counsel for Americans for Public Trust, a group that has been examining the Courier Newsroom spending. He says, "I think it's an unprecedented political news organization. While there are complaints of media bias, fake news, no media outlet is doing what Courier Newsroom is." He said this to Fox News, by the way. "They were stood up by a large left-of-center political world, and they appear to be directly engaged in political persuasion." Earlier this month, Politico published a story about the Courier Newsroom, which was headlined, "Newsroom or PAC? Liberal Group Muddies Online Information Wars," which detailed how the group is blurring the lines between campaign advocacy and a newsroom. The Courier Newsroom has set up websites that appear to be local, small-town news organizations in major swing states such as Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Florida, Virginia, North Carolina, and Arizona, all complete with names such as Up North News and The Gander to give them a local feel. Laxalt feels that Courier Newsroom intends to influence House races and push electoral votes to Democrats. He says they're all set up to appear as local news, genuine, authentic local news. The Courier Newsroom editor-in-chief, Lindsay Schrupp, maintains the legitimacy of the operation, saying Courier Newsroom publications provide factual, local reporting and are staffed and run by professional journalists. While transparently progressive, we work to provide audiences with facts to counter misinformation. That was her statement to Fox News. Courier Newsroom lists more than 24 employees with multiple current job openings. Laxalt feels it is probably gearing up for November's election by beefing up the staff. He said that Courier Newsroom is a very scandalous group that appears to be completely fake news, a completely fake news organization set up with the sole intent of tipping elections. But a look at who funds the project makes things even dicier. Courier Newsroom bills itself as a progressive media company owned by the nonprofit Acronym and other private investors. Acronym is a nonprofit dedicated to, quote, advancing progressive causes through innovative communications, advertising, and organizing programs. So you know they're Marxist. They're Marxist. Progressive causes and organizing. Remember? Barack Hussein Obama, he was a community organizer, remember?
Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
He was an on-the-ground community organizer, a Marxist, who organized the people. Remember? Those articles, those news stories, they talked about him being a community organizer, and they did these glowing reports on how wonderful that was, that he was involved with the people. Community organizers are Marxist rabble-rousers, is what they are. The new venture fund gave Acronym $250,000 in 2018. It's one of a number of nonprofit groups controlled by Arabella Advisors, a Washington-based philanthropy company. Both Arabella and New Venture Fund were founded by Eric Kessler, who worked in President Bill Clinton's administration. Arabella has been alleged to be behind a Hydra-like network that blurs the line between philanthropy and political advocacy on hot-button issues, and has brought in hundreds of millions of dollars to advance left-wing causes. A report last year by the conservative watchdog Capital Research Center said that due to financial arrangements and lack of donor disclosure, it is impossible to know which organizations subsidize the various campaigns and political movements spawned by Arabella's funds. The group was also tied to Shadow, the company that created the infamous Iowa Democratic Party's app that resulted in confusion and a muddled result back in February. Arabella has weaponized a newsroom. And while Democrats typically cry about fake news, we can all kind of debate what that definition is. This is clearly, absolutely, fake news. It appears it is invented with the sole intent of persuading swing voters in swing states, says Laxalt. Last week, the Courier tweeted an out-of-context clip of White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, a move also made by CNN's Jim Acosta, NBC's Chuck Todd. It made it appear that she was saying science shouldn't stand in the way of reopening schools, and we know that was completely and totally out of context. That's just one example of what they've done. There's more, and there's more to this story, and it's included in today's show notes. You need to read this story top to bottom, end to end. You need to learn about what the left is willing to do. You see, when our president says fake news, the fake news media rise up and say, that's horrible. When he says fake news is the enemy of the people, I want you to remember Courier Newsroom. Courier Newsroom was set up from the beginning to be fake news. It was set up not to report the facts so that people could make their own decisions about what's happening in America today. Courier Newsroom was set up to sway opinion with their stories. And that is the progressive method. That's what propaganda is all about. Look at the history of propaganda and look at the history of news under progressives and Marxism. And you'll see that it is a tool for promoting the progressive Marxist cause, not for delivering information so that people can make informed decisions. Do your homework. Get the show notes today. DailyPerspectivePodcast.com. That's all for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.